Good morning, everyone. This is Tony Orr from United Labor Unions, Arkansas, Acorn International Radio. I'm here this morning with a worker named Jane, just talking about Jane used to work for the Department of Human Services in the state of Arkansas. Just here talking about some issues that's going on, some problems that we feel that could be addressed by the Department of Human Services. So how are you doing this morning, Jane?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. So tell us, Jane, how long did you work for the Department of Human Services?
I worked for the department 2.5 years.
Okay. And what was your position then?
A family service worker.
So tell us, what is a family service worker?
We work to keep the family intact, to do safety, permanency, in the family, just to keep the family as a whole, not to break the family up.
Okay, and so let me ask you something, Jane. So how prevalent is the foster care system? How many kids are in the foster care system in Arkansas? I know you worked out of Pine Bluff. We may just need to ask, how many children on average are in Pine Bluff in foster care?
Well, I don't quite know that number, but I know it's a very high number. To the point it's just too high. I don't know the exact number.
Okay. Now, as a worker, how difficult is your job when it comes to foster care?
When it comes to foster care, I work as a social worker. It's very hectic at times. We try to do the best that we can to keep the family together. And it's really like you have so much to do in so length of time. And we try to do our best with each family that we work with. And sometimes it do come up difficult that we cannot do it all at once.
Okay. And you just recently resigned from Department of Human Services. So, and what were some of the issues that, that you felt like that you couldn't deal with anymore when it came to the system of DHS?
Well, when it comes to the system that I figured as the system with the supervisors, they are not there to help you, to give you support when you go to court. There's no unity there as well in the supervisory team. But if we could have worked as a team, it would make the process more better for the other workers that can come along after me.
Okay. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you've been a member about a year. Year and a half of the union,
yes.
Local 100.
Yes.
I remember. I think we all met at a was it a meeting with the representative from the Pine Bluff area, or did I meet you in the building itself on a vendor day?
You met me on the DCF on the vendor day.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And let me ask you. So in the time that you had been a member, you were a member. Did you feel like the union was there to help you give you advice and information on how things could get better in the workplace?
Yes. They gave me a lot of good information to do. If I see something that's not like it's supposed to be, if they're retaliating against you, you have the opportunity to call them and talk with the labor union and explain to them what's going on.
And so going back to what you were saying about the supervisors with in your office or in DHS. Mm-hmm. So did you feel maybe there was some intimidation or bullying going on with because I know that's something that's very we hear a lot in the workplace. A lot of workers are feeling that they're being intimidated by their supervisors, or they're not given the proper help that they need, and then in turn the supervisors are really, really being I just want to use the word nasty,
right.
To the workers.
Yes. Yes, that is true. Supervisors that they probably, like, if you trying to get something done or in a time frame that, like I said, there's no unity there, And then once something do go wrong, they try to blame it on you, and they put retaliation on you. So it kind of makes your job harder when you're working against two ends when you're supposed to be working as a whole, and that makes it difficult.
And how important is it to, because I hear DHS always talk about teamwork. They always talk about being a team, mm-hmm. you know. So how important is it that you actually work as a team?
Teamwork is the key. I say teamwork is dream work. Because if you don't work as a team, you're pulling against each other. If you come together as a whole, you will do better as a whole. You will get more done working as a team than working one-on-one.
And I guess in your job, that would be a great way to put it. That, you know, that would be a great asset because we're dealing with children.
That's correct.
And tell us a little about, you don't have to give any children's names, but tell us about why the children were so important to you.
I call them my babies. Once I get them to my caseload, I call them my babies, and I work them as they are my own personal kids. And I try to do the best that I can do with my babies. When they need, you know, when they're hungry, you feed them. When they need clothes, you give them clothes. And that's a very important thing when you're working in the family system with the kids. Though the babies are, to me, the family is a whole together, but the baby is the initiative that you got to take and care for that baby to get that baby to the level where if that baby's hurting, you need to nurture that baby and let them know that someone out here loves you. And I love my babies as they was my own.
And I know part of your job is to remove children from an unsafe home. As a parent, I know that would be a difficult thing to watch your child being taken away from you. But I know parents have a responsibility to do right by their children. Mm-hmm. How difficult of a situation is that? I hear you talk about your baby. So to tell us, in those times where you had to remove children, how difficult is that?
Well, it's kind of the one situation that I had to remove, I think it was about two babies. And due to the fact of moving them from the environment that hurts them because the mom is the only person they already know and has somewhat nurtured them. And doing the perspective, it's kind of hard to move the babies, but if they're in immediate danger, we have to follow the policy to move the babies. But we do try to get the family back together as soon as we can. We offer services to the family.
Okay, so I know a lot of people think that children are removed and then, you know, that's it. But there is an effort to try to keep that family together.
That's correct. There's a big effort to try to, we do not want to break up the family. But like I stated, if it's immediate danger to the child, we have to remove the child. But it's services that we can also offer the family so they could get back in the home as soon as possible.
Okay, so whatever the need is with those parents, with that family, mm-hmm. you just want to make sure that they can get what's needed to bring their family. Because I think, you know, we've talked about this before, is that, you know, a strong family is a better family. It's better for the community. It's better for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the goal of DCFS and DHS to try. Right. But we know that doesn't always happen. We know that doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. When it comes to trying to get them together in the services, how much help is being given from DHS as a whole? I've heard complaints from a lot of different workers about, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the policy restrains you from right. actually helping getting that family together.
Right. Yes. Some of the policies that implemented now is kind of makes it hard for you to get them back into the home in appropriate time because it's just too many speculations on what you need to do for this family. Now, like I said earlier, immediate danger, that's different. If they were just on something, just a regular, we could work on them more faster to get the, you know, the family back in the hole. But sometimes we just run into that wall.
And what happens when you hit, when you hit that wall? I've had over the several years, I've had cases where the worker had good intentions. What they did was good intentions of keeping this family together, but because the policy said otherwise, you know, a lot of workers have been disciplined, some even terminated for doing simple things like, okay, this child needed clothes, and the policy or the red tape was not providing these services for these children. And they went out on their own, out their own pocket, and bought these clothes, and then come to find out that the, you know, they got disciplined because it's against policy.
And so,
you know, sometimes the policy has to be changed. And I know, how do you view that? What, when you face with situations like that, you know, do you look at the policy more than you look at what the child needs or what the family needs?
Well, I'm looking more of what the child needs, due to the fact is that the whole thing is for the babies, to keep them safe. We do the policy, some of the policies are really too strict, but say for instance, if the baby needs clothes at a certain time, we can't get them, I don't mind coming out of my pocket. Because this is what that baby needs. Assess that the baby needs this. And policy takes it to another level, like we done done something wrong. But only thing, isn't that the same thing that you telling us that we need to do? Is to help this family?
And like I said, that's what becomes frustrating, you know, because we have been in, I have been in grievance hearings where, you know, it was the main topic is that I did this because this is what this child needs, but it keeps coming back. Well, that's not what the policy says. And it's, you know, how do you, you know, weigh the policy against the needs? And I think that's a frustration for all DCFS workers. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yes. Well, they should be like, it should be like the hierarchy of needs, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
When it comes to policy.
It should always be about need. So do you feel that the people who are making the policies are out of touch with the reality of what's actually going on in the field and in the home?
Yes, they are. The policies that they're coming up with, some of them, it just goes over your head of like, oh my God, this policy could be written another way. So this way, if they would just ask, get some of the workers or the family service worker come in and, you know, they discuss the points of policies, it'll be more beneficial to the kids.
And I know, how often do the people at the top or the policymakers, how often do they come and talk to you as a family service worker?
The 2.5 years I've been there, probably we went to a meeting and I'm probably about 2 times. I think they talked about the policies that they changed. Yeah.
Do they allow you as a worker to give your input on what works and what doesn't work?
To my recollection, 2.5 years, no, I haven't.
So they're making these broad decisions and then they're asking you as a worker to implement these decisions that they're being made, whether these decisions actually are good, you know, good policy or bad policy. And, you know, and we know the policies are there to ensure the health and safety and welfare of those children and the family. But do you think that if these policymakers spent more time with, you know, out there with you as a worker, you think they get a different perspective on what they need to do?
Yes, I do. If they be out there with us and we have to go out and do everything, if like we on call, we have to bring the kids in, all that matters. You have to go assess this and get the kids what they need. If they would go out with us on that, and they could probably like implement some different policies to where it'll work more smoothly for the family.
Okay. And Another thing that I've realized over the past few years is that when these policies are implemented, and the first time that the policy isn't fulfilled or isn't followed the way they want it to be followed, the first thing they want to do is discipline you.
Yes.
And have you found that to be a hindrance and when you do your work?
That's a very hindrance in that. When you implement a new policy, you still got to wait a little bit for it to iron out. You just can't, you know, you can't jump into it automatically because you're working with this family already, and then you're implementing something else, and it's going to throw the family off as well as the worker.
And so when these policies become a hindrance, how do, and I've talked to other family service workers who said the same thing, that sometimes they, you know, they say, well, I know it's against policy, but here's a need that needs to take place right now. Mm-hmm. And I've even heard some say, well, I just have to take whatever's, you know, I just have to deal with, you know, the consequences, but I'm not going to allow this child to suffer.
Right.
You know, have you ever had been in situations like that?
Yes, I have. I've been in a couple situations like that due to the policies and trying to get the baby's needs and stuff. Our first initiative is to take care of the family and the baby. I'm still going to go back to that because that's the number one thing to do. Now, if I have to go out of my way to do what I need to do, I will take that consequence. At least I know that I did what I needed to do as that worker.
Okay. And going back to removing a child from a home, mm-hmm. What type of trauma, what type of issues can arise with that child once they're taken from that home?
Once the child is removed from the home, like I said, they're still attached to the mom. You can have backlashes from the child and everything. It's going to be difficult for them to adjust from one environment to the next environment. So it's really going to be hard. They can have, some do have actually mental, some physical aggression. A lot of that happens as well.
Okay. And now, what made you join the union? What made you join Local 100?
What made me join? Because when I was in the building that day, and I just happened to like, oh yeah, you know how you have that inner spirit come to you, say, yeah, you better join. So I went over there and joined, and I, you know, I had to do what I had to do. That inner ear was telling me going in, hey, but now that I needed you guys, see, you never know.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why I took the initiative to go over there.
Okay. What is your opinion on how to get some things changed in office? That, you know, and I know we've had a lot of conversations when I come down to Pine Bluff about being involved and trying to get some policies changed and trying to get some issues changed in the workplace. Because Pine Bluff, Jefferson County is a... I'm going to use a nice word. It is an unusual, you know, workplace, you know, not just for DCFS, but for all the different divisions that are housed in that building. Mm-hmm. What makes Pine Bluff so difficult?
To me, what makes it so difficult is the work, which I do love doing, because that's what I like to do. But what makes it so difficult when you have good workers and then you have the supervisory team and they not supervising like they need to, and it makes it difficult for the worker. And then when the worker goes to over the chain, then they come back and retaliate against you, and that's not the right thing to do as in a professional setting. That's what, on my opinion of that. But if the workers feel that they are being intimidated against, retaliated against, join the union.
And you used a word a second ago, retaliation. Mm-hmm. And I hear that word consistently throughout the offices at DHS, no matter what county I have gone to in the state of Arkansas, I hear that word retaliation. So do you feel there's a lot of retaliation from management against workers when they complain or when they speak out against a policy? Do you feel that it's happening?
Yes, that's happening everywhere. What I feel to tell, you know, other FSWs, if you feel that you've been retaliated against, talk to your labor union. Don't be scared to talk, because that's just like bullying. And they don't allow bullying in school, so they shouldn't allow it at the workforce. You should be comfortable to go to work every day, do your job. Don't be so stressed, not worrying about someone's going to retaliate against you.
Why do you think there's so much bullying, you know, going on? And over the 7 years that I have been doing grievances, the majority of my grievances have come out that Jefferson County office. And why do you believe there's so much bullying there? Is it the people? Is it the culture? Is there a culture of bullying and intimidation within management? Or is it just, you know, is it just one of these random things that's happening?
No, I think it begins to me. With my experience with management, that's the big issue with management. It starts there with that. And I've got the other question.
you know, the one thing, another thing I've seen is that when I first started, there were these managers, there was these supervisors who... we had grievances against for retaliation, bullying. And now those same supervisors, they kept moving up the chain, moving up the chain, moving up the chain. And now some of those supervisors are now in assistant director positions. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there making decisions that are trickling down, that have to trickle down to all the other. And so it's like this cycle, it's like this thing that keeps going, because the people, it started at the bottom with the bullying, and now they're at the top of the same thing.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so what do you think we can do to overcome that? Or what can we do to change that?
Well, what we can do, in my perspective, if we stick together as a whole, and if you feel that this is going on with this, the other management, before they get to the other level, talk up, do grievance, do what you have to do, so you won't be feel like, you know, you could have said something before this person got to that next level.
And so, do you think a lot of workers are fearful? Do you think fear plays a big part in not speaking up?
Yes, a big fear. I mean, when I say big, I mean big. Because a lot of workers out there is fearful for their jobs. They want to work. You have workers out there that's good and dedicated to their work, and they are fearful to speak up on it. But if you speak up on it, you never know. If you do, you will know.
Have you ever been fearful of speaking up, or have you ever met workers who were concerned about some things, or being pushed in certain areas, and they wanted to speak up, but they said, no, you know, I can't rock the boat because I need my job?
Right. Well, yes, I have experienced that. A couple workers have done that. And they left. One got terminated. They went to, you know, you followed the chain of command. They did that, but it got back to the supervisor, and that's when she started retaliating. But the upper management still didn't do anything about the situation.
Right. So I always ask the question when I do interviews. I know we are doing all that we can as a labor union. What more do you think we can do to help?
I do believe the helping process is just, I believe the labor union is doing good work as of now. But if you have workers that come to you, you listen to their concerns and, get those concerns out just as fast as you can. So at least they'll know that you are there for them, and that will benefit more people's coming into the labor union. Just keep doing what you're doing, but just listen and do.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just a couple more questions, Miss Jane. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, in your experience with Local 100, would you say that it's been a good experience, bad experience?
It's been a good experience. It's been a good, very good experience for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've always been one of the vocal ones for the union. Every time I come down to Pine Bluff, we talk and everything. So, we just ask that you continue to be vocal, encourage, I know, yes. You resigned, but I know you still know a lot of those workers in Pine Bluff. So, mm-hmm. We just ask that you can just continue to, be vocal. We want to get you more involved in what we do, in everything.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Jane, we really appreciate the interview this morning and I thank you. Mm-hmm. Have a great day.
You are more than welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.